This is Stephanie Given at Baltimore Internet Radio, and today I have no guest. Today I would just like to speak to you a little bit about what I've spoken about in the past, and I know I'm always talking about Wolf Street Academy, but that's the school that my children attend. Last time I was on, I had Mark Gaither, who is the principal of Wolf Street Academy. You know, an opportunity for him to talk about the school and you know, all its strategies, and I believe he said great people, great strategies, great outcomes. My daughter Lucia is in the fifth grade, and Gianna is in the third. And so fifth grade means this is Lucia's last year at Wolf Street. Where she's going to go from there, I don't know, and that'll be another story. But today I just kind of want to share with you what a day in the life of Wolf Street Academy, what it looks like, and then talk about some more personal issues that are going on at Wolf Street. Let's begin the day, if you could imagine, at this sweet little school on the corner of Gough and Wolf Street. 77% of our students come from recent immigration households, meaning they've just come from El Salvador or New Mexico. It's predominantly Latin American. And we have 95% of the students are of low income. Now, what that means to me personally, not a whole bunch as far as co-parenting, as far as the PTO. They're all loving, good moms. They're all helpful and willing to make cookies or whatever for our bake sales. So that doesn't mean so much to me. As a Democrat and as a political person, then it means something. But for this topic, we're just going to talk about what the school does. 7:30, the doors open. Miss Sharon is our lovely lunch woman and breakfast woman. And because of No Child Left Behind, everybody can eat. So a lot of our students do eat breakfast. But also in the room with the children eating breakfast are the teachers and a lot of parents. We have the beautiful idea of morning meeting, which is done in English and then translated to Spanish. And it is a room filled with the parents. And I think I told you the story the first time I was on, that my sister, the conservative, came to Baltimore and she was displeased with the fact that we translated. We don't translate for the children at the school, but it's for the parents, that if they were not understanding what was being said in the beginning of the day, they wouldn't really know what's going on. So we talk about testing, we talk about, you know, if it's picture day or if the first grade is taking a field trip, and all that is translated for the parents. At that point, each class is led out at 8 o'clock by their teacher, who, you know, is in the cafeteria with them in the morning, takes them up to their classroom. And new this year, they've started in the classrooms this thing called acceleration. And what acceleration is depends on the need of the classroom. So, for example, right now in Lucia's fifth grade, they're working on math facts and the fluency of those facts. They're also working on reading fluency and comprehension. So it's a condensed period where they really just foster whatever needs to be done in that class. So if they're having math issues, if the kids aren't learning their math facts well enough, they'll spend a half an hour really fostering that. Prior to acceleration, I left this out, but when they first get into the classroom, they do what's called circle. And this is a safe circle, which means if you're having an issue with a peer, an issue with the teacher, this is the safe place to discuss. And it's not a long discussion. It's just pretty much to let you know that something's going on with me. For example, if I were Lucia, you know, I'm upset with this person. And so the class talks about it for a few minutes and hopefully it's resolved. Any major issues, fortunately, we have a lovely mental health suite that has anybody you might need to talk to, but that's a different issue. So they do the circle, they do acceleration, and then they go into reading. Now, reading in high school, we called it English, but reading is individualized reading groups. And one of the things I love about direct instruction, which Wolf Street is the children are put in reading groups based on their level. So Lucia was in fifth grade reading last year, and she was only in the fourth grade. Gianna's reading on third grade level at the highest level, but so she's in a different group in her class. But they send you wherever you need to continue to grow to read. Now, Lucia was in fifth grade reading last year. This year, she is in fifth grade. So she's doing an independent reading class where she reads classic novels with her teacher, and they discuss. And I, as her mother, have chosen to read the books with her so we can kind of talk about it at home, too, because, you know, she's missing that thing with peers, you know, and you can talk about what you learned today. And so I should jump in and be a part of it with her. So that's that. So then after reading, three times a week, depending on the week, A week, B week, there's PE three times a week, and science two times, or it's flipped. Then it's science 3 times a week and PE twice a week. PE is new. Back this year, we had something called Playworks, which is a company that is fantastic in the city, but it takes a small space and gets the kids exercising and moving. And although everybody has recess at lunchtime, PE has to be brought back into the school. And so now we have an actual phys ed teacher. So they do their physical activities or whatever. After that, there is lunch. Lunch consists of 3 different lunches and then a 15-minute recess period where they get outside. For me as a mother and for me as somebody who is working in the cafeteria with the kids, really, really important that 15 minutes to just get out and run and scream and jump is really important. And so when I was hired at Wolf Street by Mr. Gaither, it was to help with lunch, to help the kids with their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, to get them through the lunch line, eating, and then out to recess. And I said, well, what does lunch look like? So he said, well, what do you want it to look like? And for me, I feel like these are little kids, and they're sitting 3 hours learning, and then they have a half an hour to 45 minutes of freedom. And so my lunchroom is probably a little bit louder than some schools would like, but I feel like it's very important that they breathe in between the lunch and the back to the 3 hours of learning. So once they leave me, then they go to spelling. A lot of the children in our school have difficulty with that. I know a lot of grown-ups who have difficulty spelling as well. But the children, because they speak Spanish at home for the most part, 80% of them, I think spelling is especially hard because there are words that are not spelled as they sound. And we as adults know how difficult that can be. Then they move into language arts, where they focus on writing and concise writing and analysis of informational text. And that to me is probably one of my favorite subjects that they learn. It's really to be able to read something, comprehend it, and then spit it back out in their own words, which I love. And then, of course, there's math. Math is, again, varied on your abilities. And so if somebody's moving ahead, the teacher tends to work with those people on their own and keep them going. Science, obviously, because I have a science background, like I said, if it's 2 times a week or 3 times a week. And it is, so this is a subject I wish I could get into my school and teach science. As a lady in the cafeteria and as a scientist, I am concerned that what we can teach children about science, and so they're learning about the stars, and right now they're discussing the black holes, and they're very intrigued by that. But I also worry about human science and the body. And kids in about 4th grade, and definitely 5th grade, become aware of body parts and maybe sexual acts, and they say things that they think they understand, but they really don't. And so at the beginning of the year, I said to Mr. Gaither, I really want to go in there and teach the kids, you know, about just simple health and basically the anatomy of a boy and a girl. And so we talked about it, and, you know, we could probably do it. We are a public school. I think they do it a little bit older, but with every parent's permission, I could probably teach 4th and 5th. So fingers crossed that will happen, because for me, I discuss things like that at home. My daughter knows what a penis is, and she knows what a vagina is, and like a little aside story, obviously because of my background, but we were visiting with my family in Rhode Island, and Chia and my father take a walk, and there is a dog, and he's having his way with another dog, and Lucia said, oh my gosh, look, Papa, Harvey has his penis in Sabrina's vagina. And my father came back to the cabin and he said, well, why does your daughter know those words? And for me, it was very matter of fact. It was, she's had a vagina since she was a baby, and that's the way it is. And so he was, you know, appalled. But I feel like being in the school, I hear kids, you know, talk about body parts and not the right way. But science for us is not that. Maybe I'll get my little science class there. But science for us is pretty much the solar system, experiments, and it's wonderful. Recently, Lucia and Jana both received something from Hopkins about gifted youth. And I guess everybody who goes to a city school, if you score above a certain point, you're invited to Hopkins to participate in the summer program of learning. And so I feel as though my children obviously are wonderful, but I feel as though a lot of the kids at Wolf Street or sent those letters, which is a really good sign as a parent, not knowing statistics, not knowing anything about how really great my little school is. I was telling Dave, my producer, that just recently after I had interviewed Mr. Gaither, I went to Target, which is fabulous for as a mom to have Target in the hood. And I saw two moms that both their children went to preschool with Lucia. And so they go to completely different schools. One's at Patterson Park Public Charter and the other is at Greenmount. And so I said to them both individually, you know, ran into them the same day, different places, but said, you know, I would really love to have you on. So I think it would be interesting for all of us, especially those of you with children becoming of school age years. I think it would be nice to hear what happens at each school and what everybody's day looks like. You know, I know Hampstead Hill has a nutrition program and so they cook, but I don't really know a lot about any other school except for mine, so I think that might be a nice show in the future. I can bring on some other urban moms and let you know how they're faring with the school. Now, at Wolf Street Academy, so that's pretty much the day, and then at the end of the day, Wolf Street Academy has an after-school program, and I am an instructor and a tutor for that program. So I'm pretty involved with that. And we had the mayor to the day school probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I must tell you this, that I'm a Democrat. I voted for SRB. I mean, I'm all about it. However, our school is getting old. So we needed paint. We need, you know, there are lots of things that the school needs that certainly we have books in the classroom and a desk for every kid. So that's what's most important. But so the mayor is coming. And all of a sudden, you know, 3 days before her arrival, 20 people show up, jumping out of vans, sweeping the sidewalk, painting the buildings, you know, just like disrupting the school. And this was before we knew why this was happening. And finally I said to the principal, what is going on? Why are all these people coming around? He said, oh, well, the mayor's coming. Now, my brother was the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island some years ago. And I called him because I was twisted. I thought, now, shouldn't the mayor want to see her schools the way they really look? And Wolf Street, like I said, is a nice little school. I mean, obviously, they could all use a little cosmetic care, but basically, it's a good, safe school. And so I said, you know, why would they do that? And he said, it probably wasn't her that requested that. It was probably her people, because it makes a prettier picture when the wall is painted. Okay, fine. So Mayor Rawlings Blake comes to the school, and, you know, they laid out the red carpet for her, and it was a lovely little visit. I had a doctor's appointment, so I was not really there for that. Well, now she's coming to after school, and I'm an instructor in after school. And I have to say, my boss asked me, you know, let's do this and let's get ready. And so we had everything ready for her. There were no, you know, people coming prior to paint or whatever, but we set up a nice little reception for her. And I, as an instructor, was in a class teaching nutrition. And she came to the door, and my daughter Gianna was at the door, and she said, good afternoon, Mayor, Madam Mayor, I believe is how we taught her. Good afternoon, Madam Mayor, welcome to our class. And so she came in and we were playing a game about vegetables. And she actually engaged with the kids and played the game and stuff. And it was, to me as a mom, it was kind of cool, but, you know, but to the school and to the after school program, it was a really big deal, because what it showed was that she had heard about our program. The director of our program, Kathy Stroop, is a wonderful woman, and she adores the kids. But it was kind of a kudos for her that the mayor was interested in coming to visit our small school and our little program. So that was a lovely visit, and I very much enjoyed that. Tuesday, prior to the mayor's visit, there was a little bit of excitement in the neighborhood. There was a shooting while the children were in after school. And I really want to talk about this, because I think what sticks in my head the most is family that came to Wolf Street. He's been there now. His kids have been there for 3 years, but he went to every school in the city. And he said the reason he picked Wolf Street was because the front door was locked, and he liked that. And I thought, you know, that's not really what I look for in a school. I'm looking for the educational value. But safety is really a serious concern when your kids are in a city school. And thank God this has not happened in the time I've been in the neighborhood so close to the school. But there was a shooting, had nothing to do with storming the school or anything, but it was really close to the school. And in that moment, as we're all in our classrooms instructing, we get a voice over the intercom saying, we're in lockdown. Don't come downstairs. Well, I worked there last year, and Sandy Hook had happened last year. So we were trained what to do. We shut off the lights, you grab the flashlight, you tape the doors, barricade the door, the whole bit. I, as a mother and in charge of the fourth grade class that was in my care at that moment, did that. Shut off the lights, got the flashlight, taped the door. The kids are like, Miss Stephanie, why are you doing this? I said, oh, you know, it's just like a drill. We're just practicing like a fire drill. Well, thank God that was obviously overkill. We did get a call over the intercom saying, okay, all clear, you can come down. But my daughter Gianna's class happened to be outside on the playground. And the instructor who had them, they heard the shots. God bless the instructor. He had never heard them before, lives in the county, didn't really know what that noise was until he heard people screaming. And he said once he heard that, he ran the kids into a corner and he literally put his body around them to protect them. Then somebody from the other side told them, okay, it's safe, get inside. But it was, number one, a neighborhood issue, number two, a serious school issue, and number three, a parent's worst nightmare. The children, thank God, were all safe. We all gathered in the cafeteria. The police were at the door, you know, protecting the parents coming in and children leaving. But I have to say, I, you know, think about my city schools. I think about, you know, education. I think about convenience. I think about a lot of things. But safety kind of fell to the back of my mind until this moment. And as a parent with two children in the after-school program, watching these parents come to the door with horror on their faces, you know, nobody knew. Well, the children now, we're all gathered, parents haven't arrived yet, we're all gathered in the cafeteria. And especially the children who were outside, but a lot of the children now are sobbing. And so we haven't really told them the scope of anything except that something was going on and the police are here to protect us. And they all are crying for the same reason, and their concern was their parents. They were so worried because everybody walks to school except for maybe three families. They were worried that their parent had been hurt, that's what this commotion was, and that's maybe what the noise they heard was. The days that followed, obviously, we had a mental health care professionals available to the children, to the teachers, to the families. We had a police officer speak about safety. We had another group come in and talk about, you know, just being aware of your surroundings. And so I applaud Wolf Street for, number one, their after-school program. The director, like I said, she had her employees well prepared. And I applaud Wolf Street for bringing in the aftermath. You know, there's a fine line because you don't want to get everybody frantic, but you also want to make sure people feel safe. And I will say this, that the day after the incident, we had 98% attendance, which, you know, normally after something like that happens, people stay home and they're a little afraid. And one of the things Mr. Gaither kept saying is it's really important. We still, life has to go on and we have to just be better prepared. That was a very nice outcome. And thank God, you know, nobody at the school was hurt and the children were all safe. And it's been a week and I, you know, everybody's pretty much moved on. But it you know, brought me to a point now, as a parent, I'm going to tell you a little aside about my kids. So I think I told you, in after school, I work until 6 o'clock, and sometimes Lucia would sign out and Gianna, and they would go play on the playground. And I was fine with that. And then I would say, okay, it's 6 o'clock, Lucia, I'm going home. And she'd say, oh, Mama, I'll be home in an hour. Is that okay? You know, okay, fine. And I had a friend's telephone number who I could call and say, Jose, send Lucia home. But so I gave her all this freedom, and my husband wasn't thrilled with it, but I felt like she was a block away. We know everybody on the block from the school to my house. I think it would all be fine. And then a moment like this happens, which is a completely random moment. It's, you know, people walking through our neighborhood, not people who lived in the neighborhood. Probably won't happen again for another, you know, 5 years, I pray to God. But that moment brought me to, oh my God, we live in a city and something like this is really scary. So, of course, I say to Lucia, honey, I'm sorry, but the park privileges are suspended. Now, my husband, Ed, is a bit of a hoodlum when he was a kid. He, you know, used to hang in the schoolyard, and I think he probably didn't play soccer like Lucia. But at any rate, so he is aware of what hanging in the schoolyard is. And he said to Lucia, you know, I don't want you in the park because if there's retaliation. Now, this was at the beginning before we really knew what had even happened or why. But I think it brings up a good, valid point about when do you let your kids go? When do you feel like they're old enough to use good judgment? You know, are they safe in the playground? Are they, you know, something could happen to them right out in front of your house. And I remember when my kids were little, and we were big on the sidewalk and playing chalk and, I don't know, just digging in the dirt and stuff. And I would want to go in and get a cup of coffee, and I would leave them. I would say, just sit right here, don't move. And I would go in and get the cup of coffee. And then one day, for whatever reason, I walked into the kitchen and thought, oh my God, these are the moments parents relive over and over in their heads. Like this one little moment where I'm getting a coffee, my kids could be in the back of somebody's car. And so from that moment on, I would say, okay, I'm going in for coffee. Come on, you need to come inside. You know, we want to give our kids freedom, and we live in a city that is walkable and that there's lots to do and lots of places to roam. And we want our kids to enjoy that too. Obviously, with us, we feel safer and better, but it's nice if you can give them a little bit of freedom as they grow. Them leaning towards freedom, and then something like this happens. So to me, it's my way to remember that, you know, don't be so safe and don't be so secure. Don't forget what could happen. Needless to say, Lucia has been removed from playing at the playground. I let her go this past weekend. It was during the day. It was bright and sunny. She was with a group of kids. And, you know, again, this has not happened since I've been here. This was the first time and hopefully the last time. But I think it's a good reminder of some of the cons of the city and some of the issues that you do have to think about. I am very happy with my school, very happy with my neighborhood. I feel safe in my community. You know, it's just moments like this you question, is this the right thing? For us as a family, this is absolutely the right thing. Because now here it comes one of my other favorite things. This is the time of year for the holidays. So let's talk about that. Trick-or-treating was fantastic. The kids, they came out by the hundreds. It was lovely. We were able to go trick-or-treating and still pass out candy, and I loved that. So Thanksgiving will be our next holiday and break from school. Halloween was great. We had a lovely time, but now it's Thanksgiving. Wolf Street Academy, as I've said many times, is predominantly Hispanic. Okay, so November 1st is called El Día de los Muertos, which means the Day of the Dead. And it is a hugely celebrated Mexican holiday. And what that holiday is truly the Day of the Dead. And they build an altar. And you bring pictures of people who have passed away, loved ones, maybe something they like to drink. Somebody did bring a bottle of Patron to put on the altar. I did have to take it off. It was against school policy. Children were like, Miss Stephanie, what's that? I didn't mention it was one of my favorite drinks, but it's a beautiful day, and it is truly a day of memory. And some of you whose children collect Monster High dolls, there is a Senorita Skeleta, and I forget her name, what her real name is, but she, somebody always dresses up like it's almost like a skeleton, beautiful woman. And that is the memory of all the people that you have loved and lost. Last year was the first year we had a celebration. And this year it was an even bigger celebration. And people donated money, families donated money or food or chips and drinks. And it truly was a beautiful evening. It started at 5:30 and it went exactly till 7:30 and we had to ask people to leave. But so it was a lovely celebration. So that being said, we decorate our lobby at Christmas time with the Jewish star, Christmas tree, and Kwanzaa. And we used to just do Christmas, and somebody who was Jewish came into the school and pointed out, you know, you might want to represent the big three. So we try to be an equal opportunity school at Wolf Street. So seeing that the Day of the Dead celebration was so big, what we used to do was not celebrate that and celebrate a cultural feast. Instead of Thanksgiving, we would celebrate all the cultures. So I, as an Italian-American, would bring lasagna. Another family would bring tamales. Another family would bring, I don't know, potato chips. But so whatever. So we invite the parents, and this is the lunch for the day, and we have a lovely celebration of our cultures. A lot of the Caucasian families, not that there are a lot of us, but a lot of the Caucasian families felt like, well, you know, where's our celebration and what about Thanksgiving? So this year, just 2 days ago, Mr. Gaither calls me into his office for a meeting with Connie Phelps, who's our community school coordinator. I myself represent the PTO because I'm the treasurer and Mr. Gaither. And they decide they want to have, instead of the cultural feast, Thanksgiving. So I'm very excited, you know, I think this is going to be a great idea. And okay, we're going back to turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. And then Connie says, but we want to tell the real story of Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, it was the Mayflower sailed over, and they landed on Plymouth Rock. They were welcomed by the Indians. The two cultures blended together, and the Indians taught us how to plant corn. And, you know, I have this beautiful image of Thanksgiving. Therefore, we give thanks, and we're thankful for our family and our good health and whatnot. Well, Connie, like, sticks it to me and tells me, well, you know, the English brought smallpox and annihilated the Native American population. And I'm crushed. I'm thinking, okay, you just gave me Thanksgiving back, and now you're taking it away. You're turning it into a deep history lesson. So I'll keep you posted how this turns out. In 2 weeks, we are going to re-celebrate Thanksgiving. Mr. Gaither is going to tell the story of Thanksgiving, and Connie wants it to be accurate. So I don't know if the kids are in tears at the end of it. I'll let you know, because I really want it to be that ideal. Happy Thanksgiving. Aren't you so happy to be with your family? But we'll see how that all turns out. So that will be Thanksgiving. We're out of school for Thursday and Friday, which will be a lovely long weekend. I will go to bed on Thursday evening. We will all go to bed after Thanksgiving dinner, and we'll wake up Friday morning, and it will be Christmas in the Given household. We will have everything decorated by hopefully 3 o'clock, and then we'll go out and get our Christmas tree. I mean, I'm pretty hardcore about Christmas. So I want to remind you of this. Not that I'm hardcore about Christmas. However, the old-time Christmas is coming to Fells Point, and that's going to be December 6th through the 8th. Now, Shuckers is a little bit in question. That's where Santa usually has breakfast, and it looks like it's empty. So I'm not sure where breakfast will be, but I will definitely get back to you about that. But it is a great day if you are just newly a parent in the city or you've been a parent. You need to go out and celebrate this day. There is gingerbread making at the Preservation Society. There's breakfast with Santa. He arrives on a tugboat at 9 o'clock in the morning to the square in, like, Victorian robes. And he is the sweetest, cutest Santa you'll ever want to see. So even if your kids are too little to remember it, it's worth getting a picture with Santa and enjoying the day. And it also brings in the holiday. The square has vendors and carolers, and it's just a really fantastic weekend. So I hope that you'll all get out and take part in that. And if you don't mind me giving a little plug, I lastly want to say, the DBFA, which is the Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance, is a great resource for parents in the city. They work with all the schools, obviously every family issue you can imagine, but it's just a great network of people. Well, they do this thing where they sponsor a family for Christmas, and Wolf Street Academy is fortunate to have DBFA as a partner. They sponsor, I want to say, 100 of our families every year. They've done it for the past 3 or 4 years, this year with no exception. What they do is there's a form that our families will fill out. Again, poverty families, 80%, I think, are poverty level. And they'll fill out a form, you know, of how the age of their children and what their kids might like. And I just want to remind everybody, that's really what this season is about. I fortunately can afford to give my kids Christmas, but not everybody can, and I think it's exceptional that this DBFA, made up of parents and non-parents, all get together and share their Christmas spirit with another family. So if you ever see DBFA out there and they're looking for a little donation, do it, because they're a really great resource for families in the city. All right, so don't forget Old Time Christmas, don't forget DBFA, don't forget my Wolf Street Academy. And don't forget to listen again. This is Stephanie Given. I will be back with you before the holidays, because I do want to let you know about the other schools in the neighborhood and also how Wolf Street Thanksgiving turns out. This is Stephanie Given, Urban Mom for Baltimore Internet Radio.